Another
where
broadcast.
Where the radio is free.
That's right. Yep. Well, it's free for you to listen. But anyway, picking up where we left off, Steve, I had to cut you off last time, and I know you weren't too happy about that because it just, you know, I was trying to cram a lot in. And guess what? We're going to try it again tonight. Yeah, all right. Got so much to talk about. But you were talking about something. I said you opened up a can of worms. Now, the reason for that was, well, I mean, you were talking about, do you remember what you were talking about, Steve?
Well,
how America is viewed as an imperialistic power. That has not been so nice to third world countries, and how the perception is out there that, oh, America has been a big bad bully and hasn't been so good, and it's done so much wrong in displacing the indigenous peoples and slavery, and that's kind of the track you were going down. And I said, yeah. Well, Steve, you just opened up a can of worms, and we're out of time. But now we've got a little bit of time to get back into it. So, anyway, how's your week been?
Well, hectic, but
yeah,
good. Hectic, but good.
How's the new car? You got a new car, right? Or a new used car? New to you?
New
car.
Used car, and I got a pretty good deal on it. And
was it you were telling me? That the previous owner died in it, and it smelled like a rotting
corpse.
Didn't
die in it.
Oh.
No, let's just say that family members of the poor person that had passed on, you know, they were eager to move on too, and so I got a good deal on it. So it's a great thing about America, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and it was rusting or something. No, that's right. There was a leak in it. You had some kind of a leak.
No, that's what. Not my regular.
But it was
shop
a condenser. It was
that I go to, but there was another shop that I went to, and you're kind of conflating two things. But the AC had to get. I needed to get that charged up. But then this other shop, the guy was like, you might have serious water damage in this car because, you know, I know what mold smells like, and I need to pull the carpets up, and I was just like, what?
Just
he's like, it might be a total loss. I'm like, what? So anyway, long story short, it was fine. You know, he was wrong. So
yeah, I know, I know how it go. But that's just what you want to hear.
Exactly.
Buy a new vehicle. You've got a big problem here, and it's going to cost big bucks to get it fixed. Let me tell you, buddy.
You might not want to put any more money into it because I think it's totaled. It's like, what? Anyhow, moving along.
Yeah. Yeah, moving right along here. All right, well, so like I was saying, you opened up a can of worms because you know, this is the crux of the biscuit, as Frank Zappa would say, and that America, in the liberal mindset, is the bad guy, always the bad, always the one that's at fault for everything. It's America's fault. We need to go around the world and apologize to everybody for our imperialistic nation building and our reckless cowboy, attitude toward everything we do. It's you get the
we have the fire
from the professors from the from in the universities. And you were talking about the Iron Triangle. Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure. So the Iron Triangle is what it is three points on that triangle. The first is education. So the left infiltrated our educational systems K through postgrad, they've done so for the past 40 years. And, you know, we've done throughout history that if you can get control over the minds of the youth, you can change a whole culture. And that's been the most, by far the most damaging thing that's happened in terms of just the, you know, there's a reason why our students score much lower than the rest of the world now. They're just being dumbed down. That's one point on the triangle. The other two points are the mainstream media, news media, and Hollyweird, as I like to call it. And then the other point is local, state, and federal government. And it's through those three avenues, if you will, that the left has, sad to say, succeeded in doing a lot of things, not the least of which is reinventing history, reinterpreting history to the point where that they subverted the minds of a lot of people. I mean, how else can you explain, you know, you've got how many millennials? I don't know. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but masses of people turning out for Bernie rallies. And, you know, this guy is, he's a Marxist. Well, you know, but there's not really a
And the goal of socialism is communism. It's always communism. And Bernie's been a socialist. He's not a Democrat socialist. He's always been socialist in his philosophy, which is the big government. We will distribute your money for you. We'll divide it among the poor. We'll determine where you should work, what you should do, and where you should go. And, the you know, it's just
anybody listening to this, it would do you good to just, all you got to do is Google Marx's 10-point plan wiki. And right there, you'll see the 10-point
plan. And you notice, Steve, that they don't talk about what's going on in Venezuela right now. I mean, again, back to the Iron Triangle, you have the media, which is, you know, basically just the voice box of the liberal, you know, the Democrat Party. So, I mean, they're just going ahead and they just proliferate everything that the Democrats want them to say. And now it's gotten to the fact, you know, to the point where the Supreme Court is really just a rubber stamp of the Democrat Party.
It is the latest
decision on abortion.
And that's the biggest concern from a practical standpoint that I have in this upcoming election, because you're right. The Supreme Court has become nothing more than a rubber stamp for the Democrat Party, which means that if Hillary Clinton gets elected, there's three leftists on the court that can't wait to retire with a Democrat president so that they can be replaced with people either as hardcore Marxist and leftist as they are, or even worse. And so, you know, in other words, what the left cannot get through the legislative process, the constitutional process, they will take through judicial fiat. And this is what they've been doing for 40 years. And so, you know, you've got certain parts of the country, you have, depending on, you know, what area, you've got circuit courts that are really circus courts, you know, the Ninth Circus Court of Appeals. And so, you know, it's tough, man. And it's like, this is where, you know, to quote a couple people, Michael Savage, he says that liberalism is mental illness. And
hey,
I tell you,
big shout out to Michael Savage if you're listening. I still, Steve, I told you, I think Michael Savage might be listening to us because a couple times his show has almost directly, the next day, has echoed a lot of points that we made. Not that we're not accusing you, Michael, of not being original, but not in any stretch of the imagination. We love you. We love Michael Savage. So you are one awesome human being. And, man, I'd like to do a show on Michael at some point in time, just because he's got such range and depth, and he's so dynamic. It doesn't even do it justice to just give him a shout-out.
Seeing as it's 6 o'clock in San Francisco, Michael's probably out having dinner somewhere with his dog, Teddy. So, by the way, nobody tells a story about, you know, about anything like Michael does. He's amazing. You know, when he talks about growing up in Brooklyn, growing up in New York City, His stories are awesome. But he says that liberalism is mental illness. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
When you look at what I can sum that up in one thing. It's the left's insane blind devotion to equality at any cost. And we see that nowhere clearer than Obama trying to bring in all these Muslim refugees without properly vetting them. When you look at the percentages of Muslim refugees to Christian refugees, we're talking, of course, from Syria and the Middle East.
Well, and they say they are screening them, but come on, who are you trying to fool? Don't be ridiculous. You can't screen them because you don't know who they are. You don't know who the Syrians are. There's no database. There's no background. There's not even a ripple in the pond unless they've done something overtly that's been, you know, caught the attention of somebody somewhere. There's no record of who they are. We don't know their neighbors. We can't go to their towns and cities and do any kind of background checks on them.
Well said. Let me give you a couple more points on that. The next thing is in the past 7 years, it's terrifying the way that the Obama administration has completely watered down and neutralized the FBI's ability to do their job. And as a matter of fact, you know, in this terrible tragedy that happened in Orlando, where all these people were murdered, there was a gun shop owner that reported this guy to the FBI, and the FBI didn't do anything. And I don't blame the FBI
they actually checked him out twice. FBI was investigating him twice, but they had to drop it. And there's been cases where the FBI has been told by the administration to erase everything that they have, all the data points that they have on a person, because they're profiling. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And not only the FBI, but the hands of law enforcement are tied, the hands of all intel gathering.
Same thing with the Saranoff brothers. And so, and why is it? Now, let me address something here that some of the listeners, you know, there's a lot of talk that, oh, Obama's a closet Muslim. So I don't believe that. Now, I believe he's got a very unhealthy sympathies towards Islam, extremely unhealthy sympathies. But I'll tell you what it is. He is a hardcore, dyed-in-the-wool, hardcore leftist. And as a hardcore leftist, he is committed to equality at any price, even if we have to die, even if there's people that get killed. I mean, how else can you explain this? And this is why
he sat under Reverend Wright for 25 years. You know,
there
Reverend
you go. Thank
D.
you.
D. America Wright.
An anti-Semite. Vicious anti-Semite, Reverend Wright, you know.
And Bill Ayers. Let's not forget Bill Ayers, who was involved in the Weather Underground, which was trying to blow up federal and public buildings back in the 60s and 70s.
And of course, you know, both Obama and Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, ardent followers of Saul Alinsky, you know, Rules for Radicals, a book
devoted
to Lucifer.
Look it up on the web. If you don't know, Google it, Rules for Radicals. Check it out. I mean, it's just bizarre to read through that and look at the parallels of what is happening in society today. You know, the turning classes against classes, class warfare, turning blacks against whites, gays against straights, trying to accentuate all the differences and trying to cause there to be division so that they can profit and benefit from the chaos, which, you know, really is a good segue into some of the sound bites I wanted to play tonight, Steve. Let me introduce this because this is really intriguing. There's a spiritual aspect to these things that we see going on. And were we to have our eyes open and be able to see into the spiritual world, we would see some amazing things. But I'm convinced that we would have great hope because from a biblical perspective, you know, we get to see the end, and the end result is we win, you know.
Yeah.
Those of us that have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we actually win in the end. But, you know, I want to jump to this prophetic word that I believe is from God. Steve, what do we know about prophetic words in New Testament times? Is there a biblical precedent?
Absolutely. And so there's 1 Corinthians 12. I always like to say chapters 12 through 14, because you got to have the 13th chapter in there to mm-hmm. talk about, manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Then we actually have, in the book of Acts, we have a couple of examples of prophetic words being given. And then Paul admonished Timothy to wage a good warfare. He's talking about a spiritual warfare according to the prophecies that were spoken over him. So, you know, in his youth, as a follower of Jesus, there were times of prayer where there were, there were elders in the local congregation that laid hands on him and prayed over him. Could have even been Paul. We don't know, but they spoke prophetic words over him. So, and then, Paul said, don't despise prophesying. don't despise it when somebody brings a prophetic word, but test the word. And that's the critical thing. You have to test it, and sometimes you test it and you can't really say conclusively 100% whether it is or whether it isn't, because there's nothing up front that would tell you it isn't, but time will tell.
Right. And as opposed to the Old Testament prophets and prophecies, it's more for direction, guidance. It specifically states that in the New Testament, rather than prophets giving guidance, God gives guidance to each of us as believers through the inward witness or through you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things and have no need that any man teach you. So there is a place in our walk with God that he can lead us and speak to us and reveal things to us, and a lot of times he confirms it through a variety of different ways. Sometimes it's the inward witness, sometimes it's having a perception of something. And God directs us through his word and by his Holy Spirit in the New Testament, so we don't really need the prophetic guidance as a way to go.
Right.
But it tells us that prophecy is for comfort, edification,
and encouragement,
and exhortation. Yeah, and encouragement, exhortation. So, yeah, I mean, that's what this is for. And troubling times and chaotic times such as we live in, there is nothing more comforting than to know that God, God has a plan and God is at work. And for that reason, I wanted to go to this word. This is a prophetic word that was given to Mark Taylor. And he's being interviewed by True News, which is Rick Wiles. Rick Wiles is interviewing him. He's a retired firefighter. Mark Taylor was given this prophetic revelation in 2011, and he thought it was for that election cycle. He thought it was going to be like imminent. It was right then and there. But then the Lord showed him that it was delayed. The word was delayed. And so, in short, let's go to soundbite number one. The Lord has chosen Mr. Trump, he says, to bring America back from the brink of destruction.
So I titled the prophecy Commander-in-Chief. And it says, the Spirit of God says, I have chosen this man, Donald Trump, for I will use this man to bring honor, respect, and restoration to America. America will be respected once again as the most powerful and prosperous nation on earth. The dollar will be the strongest it has ever been in history of the United States and will once again be the currency by which all others are judged. The Spirit of God says, the enemy will quake and shake and fear this man I have anointed. They will even quake and shake when he announces he is running for president. It will be like the shot heard across the world. The enemy will say, what shall we do now? This man knows all our tricks and schemes. We have been robbing America for decades. What shall we do to stop this? The Spirit says, ha, no one shall stop this that I have started. For the enemy has stolen from America for decades, and it stops now. For I will use this man to reap the harvest that the United States has sown for and plunder from the enemy what he has stolen and return it sevenfold back to the United States. For this next president will be a man of his word. When he speaks, the world will listen and know that there is something greater in him than all the others before him. This man's word is his bond, and the world and America will know this, and the enemy will fear this, for this man will be fearless. The Spirit says, when the financial harvest begins, so shall it parallel in the spiritual for America. The Spirit of God says, in this next election, they will spend billions to keep this president in. It will be like flushing their money down the toilet. Let them waste their money, for it comes from and is being used by evil forces at work, but they will not succeed, for this next election will be a clean sweep for the man that I have chosen. They will say things about this man, the enemy, but it will not affect him. They shall say it rolls off of him like the duck, for as the feathers of a duck protect it, so shall my feathers protect this next president. Even mainstream news media will be captivated by this man and the abilities that I have gifted him with, and they will even begin to agree with him, says the Spirit of God.
Amazing. This is truly amazing. Mark, it reads like you wrote it last week.
Right.
That's why it took me back so strongly, because I kept looking at the date.
Right.
Yeah, so anyway, that was Mark. And Mark got, he's actually a retired firefighter. And he got this word. And it was, you know, like I said, it was back in 2011. So he just kind of put it away, you know, like you do when you get something from God and you just say, well, I don't know if that applies or not. Because the election came and went. But he said he was watching television and he heard Donald Trump speaking and something went off in his spirit, and he said, that's the president of the United States. So he is fully convinced that Donald Trump is going all the way to the Oval Office.
Let me ask you a question. So when God gave him this prophetic word in 2011, mm-hmm. did he know who it was at the time?
Yeah, he knew it was Donald Trump.
Wow.
Because it came following that, like when he was watching him on TV and he saw him and he heard, oh, like an inward witness jump up inside of him and say, that's the next president. That's the president of the United States speaking.
So here's the thing. So an opposing view will say this. They'll say, well, that's completely subjective, mm-hmm. you know, and it is. It is subjective.
True.
That's completely subjective, and you know, Trump has changed his mind so many times, you know, on so many things. And, you know, it's like, what do we really know about what he believes? Now, you know, I always push back on that and say, well, there's interviews with him from 30 years ago. And we know that even back then, he was fed up with America losing in trade wars.
Exactly.
So, you know, there were some things way back then that we knew, but, you know, if we're going to be fair about it, you know, as a big businessman, he's got to play the game with everybody, Democrat, Republican. So, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think that you can be, it's like you have the never Trumpers who, you know, are their standard is so high. I don't think it's fair, but at the same time, you know, my concerns with him are that, at least with Reagan, well, you knew where Reagan was coming from. All you got to do is look at the speeches that he made when he stumped for Barry Goldwater in the 1960s.
Right.
But, you know, that's not to say, I mean, it's like when we're talking about how, in the bigger picture, throughout the history of the world, how God has moved history. There's times where God does intervene, because ultimately in the cosmic chess match, and you alluded to this earlier, you know, read the back of the book, you know,
mm-hmm.
So God is always infinitely ahead of where our little pea brain minds are, which means and this is where, and let me just say this is where you see in history, like you see in the book of Isaiah, God prophesying about Cyrus before Cyrus even existed, and through the prophet Isaiah, and he's saying, behold, my anointed one, Cyrus, who I will raise up. Well, you know, Cyrus was a pagan.
Yeah.
He was worshipped, he was a Zoroastrianist. You know,
yeah, he was a heathen. Yeah.
He was a heathen. But you know, there's times in history.
He was a pagan. He built temples to all these other gods.
Yes. But, you know, he was at least open to God guiding him and leading him. Is that going to be the case with this prophetic word? I don't know. So, you know, on this show, bro, you know that we're not always going to agree 100% on everything. So my stance on it is, I'm not saying it is, but I'm not saying it isn't. I don't really know.
Right.
Time will tell. But I will say this. I don't hear anything in it. So I have friends in the ministry that I know would just, they'd go crazy. They'd be like,
oh, yeah. They'd blow a gasket. Let me tell you something. Those guys, I mean, you can't argue with the facts. And if you look at, he had 16 very qualified candidates running alongside of him, and he eliminated them all one by one.
I know.
Now, whether he was totally ethical, whether he was a nice, you know, he wasn't always those conservatives that consider themselves to be purists.
He wasn't Reagan-esque. Let's just say that.
Right.
When it came
right.
to that.
Yeah. I mean, he's like a carnival barker. And everybody's waiting for him to pivot, but one after the other, they fell. And everybody that comes up against him, even whole news media outlets coming up against him, are coming down after they attack him. That's a sign of the anointing. You don't need a whole lot of convincing.
Got to interrupt. That reminds me of Reagan, because you and I saw it. We witnessed it. We both voted for Reagan twice. I used to watch. I used to watch the State of the Union. I loved it. You know, I'd be fist pumping, sitting there in the living room watching it. And what you just said, that was Reagan. I mean, he would have the media tied up in knots. They'd be in fits. They couldn't figure out why they kept. It was like they come against him three ways and they flee seven. Reagan was
the worst to the media. The media hated him. They said he wasn't qualified. He didn't have enough of experience. He was just, they called him a monkey movie actor, and they said he's just, you know, what qualifies him? And so, anyway, but let's go, I don't know where, you know, we've got so much to look at, but I want us to chew this up and digest it a little bit, you know, and scrutinize it. You know, it says let the others judge prophetically, those that have prophetic knowledge, those that are recognized as having a prophetic track record, let them judge the word that goes forth. So let's listen to soundbite number two. Basically, he's saying that Trump knows the schemes of those that are in power and the corrupt systems under judgment.
The prophecy says they will even quake and shake when he announces he is running.
Yeah.
The enemy will say, "What shall we do now?" This man knows our tricks and schemes.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, how many times have you heard him sit up there since then and say, "Hey, I know all this about such and such a group. This is what China's trying to do. This is what Mexico's trying to do. You know, these aren't friends of the United States. You know what I mean? A lot of times. So, I mean, he's exposing everything right now.
Wait, he knows how international business works.
Exactly.
And he knows the way the deals are made.
Yes.
And that terrifies the people who are doing the deals.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know,
the powers, not only the earth is shaken, but the very heavens are being shaken with Trump.
Let me say this too, brother. Part of it, this is just an observation, part of it is, you know, he has an incredible business acumen. So, you know, all the Trump haters, be they Democrat or Republican. You know, they love to talk about his bankruptcies and his failures, okay? Which it really infuriates me because it's not really a fair argument. Because let me tell you something. You when you're in business at that level, you have to take risks. And if you're not willing to take risks, you're not going to do anything. And he's taken risks, and sometimes he's lost, but he's won more than he's lost. And you know, as a 20-year career sales rep, you know, what happens, you know, Trump's not exactly, I mean, he's a businessman, right? But a lot of what he does is sales. So because, in other words, he has to convince a lot of people of a lot of things. And he's very, very good at it. He's very good at reading human, you know, reading a person's body language, knowing where he's at in any given deal, knowing when to talk, knowing when to shut up, knowing when to, you know, really drop the hammer on somebody as opposed to, you know, maybe soft pedaling someone. So part of his success, his recent success in what he's doing, I believe is gifting that he has. When I look at it objectively, I scratch my head and I go, you know what, this is more than a coin. You can't explain this in mere earthly terms. It does seem to go beyond even someone that has an exceptional gifting in business.
Right. Even if he were a genius, disguising as someone who can only talk at a fourth grade level, you can't account for him just showing up in Scotland the day after Brexit vote turns out that they want to leave the EU and the UK. I mean, he just happens to show up the morning of and has a press conference and is answering questions from the press from Great Britain.
Yeah.
And Scotland.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that you alluded to it a few minutes ago. You alluded to it when you said that when you look at how one potential candidate after another just fell for him, one after another, after another, after another.
Mm-hmm.
And here again, you know, look.
Right after they attacked him, they would fall.
But here's the thing.
Attacked him.
Yeah, part of it, no doubt, is that he's absolutely fearless. He's not afraid to say what we all know, what we're all thinking, right? Certainly that's part of it. But then you say to yourself, well, wait a minute. I mean,
self-confidence
really,
alone couldn't really account
for
There
you go. And that's what I'm saying. That's what causes me to say, you know, wow, maybe there is something more going on here than just luck.
Yeah, good point. Let's go to soundbite number 3. And there's a little bit more of a spiritual emphasis in this part.
And he knows the way the deals are made.
Yes.
And that terrifies the people who are doing the deals.
Yes, absolutely. And I don't want to get off track, but I mean, because there's more to say about that. But he is going to be used. It says right here, he will use this man to reap the harvest the United States has sown for and plunder from the enemy what he has stolen and return it back sevenfold to the United States. Now, everybody always says that America's under judgment. No, it's not. The systems are. But what God's going to do is he's going to go back and reap this harvest. Now, I didn't know much about Donald Trump when I wrote this. I knew he was a very powerful, wealthy individual who created a huge business. That's about all I knew of him at the time. And so, I mean, he's going to literally use this man to plunder from the enemy what we have sown. Nobody talks about the good things that America has done. Look at all the seeds we have sown. I wrote that in my other prophecy, America, America. All the seeds that we have sown are coming back to America. 90% of the gospel that's gone out has come from America. Where are all those seeds? Nobody talks about the seeds that are to come to harvest. God's going to bring those seeds back to harvest, and he's going to use Donald Trump as part of that because he knows all these things. He's been there. He's done that. He's experienced it. He knows how to go in and get it, like he talks about taking the oil on some of these places. getting the money back for protecting some of these countries. See, all that money is going to start coming back.
Mark, when you say America's not under judgment, you said, what is it, the system is under judgment?
Well, I think the systems, like the financial systems, the political systems, the immigration system, mm-hmm. all these systems are the worldly systems, because you're having this new world order starting to take effect. And that's what God's going to put a stop on in America, because America has been chosen as the launching platform for the harvest.
Well, we have certainly been, many of us, crying out to the Lord for years.
Yes.
To free us of the tyranny of this regime.
Yeah, I mean, and the sad thing is, so many people have been interceding, crying out to God, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people humble themselves, you know, then will I heal their land. I will heal their land, God says. And people have been crying out for this, and they don't recognize it when it comes, because Donald Trump is not your, you know, he's not your kind, sweet Christian, you know, just always giving, yes, kind of Wilbur Milquetoast kind of conservative who's always trying to be the nice guy and trying to promote peace. And, you know, I mean, and that what has that gotten us against these radical liberals who will stop at nothing to accomplish their agenda? They're patient. They keep coming every day. There's a new deluge of issues that they bring out. Kennedy put a man on the moon. Look at where the Democrat Party has slid to. Kennedy put the first man on the moon. Obama put the first man in a woman's restroom.
Well, look, you know, the Democrats, and now even part of the Republican Party, they're jackals. They're a bunch of wild jackals, a herd of hyenas, you know, just coming in.
And they're jackasses, too. No wonder their symbol for the Democrat Party is a jackass.
That's hockey. Well, you know? That hasn't been lost on me either. Well, let me say this. So here's the opposing argument. You know, the opposing argument would be, look, Reagan, are we going to model ourselves after some, you know, circus clown like Donald Trump? Are we going to, are we Reagan conservatives? Well,
right.
You know, I understand, you know, where people are coming from when they say this, because if you had your druthers, as we like to say, you'd have someone that would be like Reagan, and I think the closest that we got to that was Ted Cruz. But, you know, Ted's a great guy, and I voted for him in the primary, by the way. But, you know, it's just something, this is a different time. And I'm not saying that, you know, we as conservatives that vote Republican, you know, should just abandon the idea of having candidates that are Reagan-esque, you know. But I'll throw this
out
there.
There'll be a time for that. I believe.
But think about this for a minute. If, in fact, unbeknownst to Trump, you know, Trump's just being Trump, doing what Trump does, God actually has his hand on this man, and he's raising him up, right? But think about it. If something great happens through it, you know, and then, you know, and I'm alluding to what the last soundbite, what he said in the last soundbite, you know, I don't know that I buy into all that, but my point is simply this: that if in fact God does that, who's going to take credit for that?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like
he uses. Like, he uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise.
That's a
scriptural principle.
That's exactly right. He used a donkey to rebuke Balaam.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
He used an ass, a jackass, to rebuke Balaam.
All right. We're listening to, in case you just tuned in, we're listening to Mark Taylor, retired fireman. And his prophecy, a word that he believes he received from the Lord. Broadcast engineer, Doug, could we go to soundbite number 8? We're kind of running out of time, so I need to squeeze a couple of these in here, and this is one of the best.
So here we go with this D-Day invasion thing, where you had manpower, equipment, money, weapons. That's all coming to America now for the harvest to be released. America's going to be the hub for the end-time harvest to be released, and he's using Donald Trump to do that, and the reason is because the church is behind on the ground game. So God is having to use Donald Trump to literally split hell wide open right now and expose everything until the army of God mobilizes and basically hits the beaches and begins to take ground for the kingdom of God and hold it and get a stronghold here in the last Christian nation on earth.
Mark, that was the very next thing I was going to say to you. It seems as though God is using Mr. Trump to do what the church has failed and neglected to do.
Yes.
Which is to attack this evil regime.
Yes. The church has not been doing its job because there are some things in the natural that are required. Now, I always love the quote when people tell me, well, how can you be Christian, you know, and vote for Donald Trump? And, you know, he's so brash. He calls names, this, that, and the other. Well, have you read your Bible lately? Jesus was the model that we all are to live our lives by. He called people hypocrites. He called them, brood of vipers. I mean, he called his own disciples cowards.
Well, you know what some church people would have said to Jesus? Jesus, you're not being Christ-like.
That's right. What would Jesus do? Well, picking up a whip and driving people out of the temple
Exactly. Isn't
beyond the realm of possibility. So
that was what my next comment was going to be. He went to the temple, he turned the tables over and drove them out with a whip. Well, what was he saying? I mean, to turn the tables over on the corrupt, you're going to have to drive them out. And he didn't use the word of God. He used a whip.
Mark, this ministry, True News, we have been on the radio since 1999, and all we've ever talked about is this evil regime.
Right.
And the need for repentance in the land and for the body of Christ to rise up and take back this country and make it a Christian nation again. That's all we've ever talked about. And our biggest frustration over all these years has been the apathy, the indifference,
yes,
and the complacency in the churches.
Absolutely. And that's why God is having to use Donald Trump to do this, to hold off those forces, to hold off the voice of Islam and bolster the voice of Christianity, because he's already said he's going to do that. The wall has to be built. We have to. Rick Joyner had a vision over two years ago where it was called the Border Wars. You guys can look it up. Maybe you guys have already seen it. Where that if the borders were not sealed, we would have a war in this country like we've never seen before, and some of it's already starting. So the wall has to be built, we have to have borders, and these people have to be removed out of here, period.
Now, Steve, you remember that Rick Joyner prophecy, because I remember you're the one that shared it with me.
Well, what he was a dream that he had. And in the dream, ISIS came across the southern border, and
Right. The
atrocities they were committing in this dream were worse than anything we have seen in the 20th century.
We're talking raping and beheading.
We're talking
in cannibal, America from house cannibal. To house.
Like the stuff they were doing was so heinous. And he said that. And
this is not fear mongering, by the way. This is fact. This is what they do.
Well, right.
This is what ISIS does.
Well,
we're
right.
Not fear-mongering.
I mean, look, it's common practice with Hamas and some of these, Islamic Jihad and Hezbollah, that when they murder their enemies, they'll put their hands in the enemy's blood and they'll lick the blood.
We got children listening out there. I mean, I don't want to get too graphic, but I will say this,
when Trump says
what he says it for a reason. The reason that Trump is saying what they do and is graphic about some of his descriptions is not because he's a racist. It's because he wants to protect our nation. He says if we don't have borders, we're not a country. If we don't enforce our laws,
Right. We're
not a country.
Right.
And
well,
so that's well, what this globalist agenda is trying to do is reduce America to third world status and bring us all under one controlling government.
I mean, look, it's very simple. The jackals in the Democrat Party, they are quite happy with an open force border. Why? Because they know that's tons of votes for them. It's millions of votes for them to keep them in power.
Mm-hmm. People that are dependent upon welfare programs.
So they don't care about America's safety at all. They don't. Mm-hmm. So what if they have to sacrifice innocent American lives dying in a horrible way? They don't care. And that's one of but a multitude of examples of their stinking hypocrisy. And that they should be called out on. And here we've had, 7 years of the Republicans cowering off in the corner, afraid to say anything to hurt their feelings. And, and then Trump comes along and he starts telling it like it is. He starts calling them out.
Exactly.
And, so there's it's more than just, look, there's been times where he's let his, he's let Trump get the better of Trump and maybe said some things that he shouldn't. But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater here. There's a point to what he's doing, to what he's saying when he's calling out the Democrats for not securing the border.
That's calling out
the Obama administration for compromising our national security for political correctness.
You're speaking
truth. And he should be applauded for that.
Yep. Hey, we're up against a break. We got to go to, we have about 5 minutes left in the program, so let's go ahead and do that now.
Hey, if you want to catch a good contractor, check these guys out, Cap Enterprises, LLC. They are professionals. They're licensed. They're insured. They're going to come in, and they're going to do it right. They get in, get done, get out. You know what I'm saying? Just the way it ought to be. Now, if you have any projects, commercial, residential, these are the guys to call, I'm telling you. 703-980-1632. These guys will do it right, and they're not going to drop a bomb on you. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to leave you hanging, and they are professionals. These are the kind of guys I call whenever I need something done. So give them a call, 703-980-1632. That's Cap Enterprises, or check them out on the web, C-A-P-A-R-T. Hey, watch out. Oh, there goes that new. Looks like I got to call Cap Enterprises. All right, check them out on the web. Like I was saying, CAPARTCO.com. That's Cap Enterprises. And, Celebrity Voices Impersonated. Hey, you want to catch a good contractor? Check these guys out. Cap Enterprises, LLC. Now, these are the guys I call on when I really need something done. And done right, and done in a hurry. They're licensed, they're insured, and they're professionals. So have them come to your project, whatever it may be, whether it's commercial or residential, and they will get the job done right. They'll do it according to code. They'll do it with all, they'll pull the permits. They'll take care of all the dirty work for you. Give them a call, 703-980-1632. These are really good guys. Cap Enterprises, LLC. Anytime I get into a bind, or if I need something done and I need it done right, I invite these guys over to take a look and give me an estimate. I always consider them because they're the best. They're the best available locally. So, yeah.
What's that? Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you're listening to Radio Free DC from high atop the capital of the free world.
Let's go out with a song. You all want to hear a song?
Yeah!
I'd love to change the world by 10 years after.
10 years after, 10 years after, 10 years after, 10 years after. About 40 years later.
Everywhere is freaks and harris, dykes and fools.